This is Melting Titanium number 47, March 2, 2010. We've been on the air since October. We've done one or two tailgates, March 2nd, and Melting Titanium 47. And I'm reading emails where people saying they love the show and they don't know why they do and this and that. And I'm asking Ion to explain why people like Cashflow.
Okay, so leading edge stuff and so fun. What's being expressed there?
Well, just the dynamic that the non-physical is hitting on a chord from a high-strung, tense reality that's being soothed. Remember, music soothes the savage beast because it's comforting. It comes to a place where the human creators can finally and at last allow this thing that they already have that they don't understand into their everyday working reality that can bring delight or find delight in their world. And every time you do that, it's delicious. It tastes good. If it's salty or sweet, it still becomes desirous. Sometimes it's from a contrasting flavor. Some of your very best followers now were the very worst in the beginning of not having it. And then it sort of grew on them, as it were. Well, it's because their non-physical got an opportunity to be engaged.
This person may have been one who didn't get it at first.
Of course.
She even says, yeah, she was in a different place then. So here is a follower, just came in, and it's a review. So let's see what this says. This person says, they probably just heard last week's show. That was another fantabulous cash flow show. Carolyn was amazing. And
Can't use names, Bob.
No, yeah. Not Carolyn. He's talking about the girlfriend that he was listening with.
Oh, capital C.
Yeah, he was having sex with Carolyn while he was listening to the show.
Right.
Carolyn was amazing in bed. And the dynamic between everyone is a cool mix. Then he says, that was neat to hear Ion's medical stuff. Yeah, that was last week. The medical was pretty good, whatever it was. Funny, he said, check the brain scan. Whoops, there's nothing there. Yeah, that was a joke Ion made. So he got it. Check the brain scan. Whoops, nothing there. And that was just said really quickly, right, Ion? Just in passing. Not many people got it. I don't think James laughed at that one. And then he says, that is actually true. There are people alive in Canada don't have brains and didn't know it till they were older and had brain scans. Just fluid, no tissue in almost the entire region. I think he's talking about something real. Mm-hmm. Is that true, Ion? The brain is just fluid?
Sure. Yes.
That would not necessarily be a problem, right? They survived.
That's the point. And we said this everywhere we know to say it, but we'll say it one more time. You can be brain dead and still alive.
Right, yeah.
You say, right, yeah, but now everything up until this point was driven by the labyrinth of the mind. So if you don't have a mind, then you're dead, because we said, chop their head off and see how long they last. You want all the parts there, okay? But they don't have to be in keyed up, toned functionality in order to be an end to the means.
So these people have no tissue. Did it have any disservices for them?
Nope. They didn't have a chance to figure out what they couldn't figure out a chance. They didn't have to figure out a chance. They didn't know they didn't have a chance. They didn't know. Oh, wait, the big troll is hung.
That shows you, Carolyn, that since people's non-physical is way bigger than their chemical body, the factors in your chemical body are minuscule compared to what's really going on.
Right.
You have no tissue in your brain. Biologically, it looks pretty bad, but it's nothing if they're non-physical.
And yet your non-physical is bigger than your physical, but your non-physical is limited to the very least that you allow your physical to engage. That's the conundrum. Non-physical is bigger, but it's not more powerful. Non-physical is truer, purer, more loving, more understanding, more forgiving, more spacious and allowing, but can't do beans about it.
The non-physical is big, but the degree it interacts with the physical depends on the physical's image of itself in relation to the non-physical.
It's limited by the physical.
The physical determines how much it's turned up, the volume.
But it's, or if it's on at all.
And part of emphasizing the physical and its power over the non-physical is to emphasize biology as the big factor. And that's true if you keep your access to non-physical really tiny. If you don't access consciously your non-physical, then what's going on in your brain is important biologically, because that's all you're working with.
Mm-hmm. You're banking on the least to provide you the most.
So people, when they see their doctor's tests come through good, they good blood, good this and that, because they're operating in a limited spectrum, that will make them feel good, and they will feel healthy.
Now, wait. Sometimes it confounds them because they do every test. Carolyn can stand for this. Sometimes they do every test in the book, and the doctor can't find anything obscure or out of the ordinary and can't explain why it is. So then they make up things called fibromyalgia so it can fit the bill.
You make something up, or they are feeling bad, and they can't find, they don't know why they, no tests prove why they should be bad, feeling down.
Exactly. So then they make up one that fits. That's where these diseases come from. They get named. Well, when they can't find a name for it, they make one for it to fit that categorized anomaly of symptomatic less-than-ness. So, symptomatic less-than-ness. You ought to use that.
Symptomatic less-than-ness. Mm-hmm. I think of Bob Dylan's lyric, I was older than that now, I'm younger now, or something like that. I was older then, I'm younger than
that. Well, you can't understand, because it was, older than now, is older than is now.
Yeah. But you can't understand it.
Well, yeah, if you really...
Yeah, press physical. Not, really, you're not physical. You knew Dylan was, you know, before he wrote it.
Yeah, but it's...
Okay, so you're making...
He didn't sing it like that.
Now, this... Now, wait a minute. Isn't J.W.'s musical taste coming through Ion?
No. He doesn't have any musical taste. He likes everything.
It's traditional lore in medium channeling land that the personality that channels a spirit or something is influencing what the spirit says or interprets what the spirit says. So the people have accepted the idea that the vehicle influences what we hear from the spirit that's being channeled.
And so what do you think, Bob?
Well, I thought that was probably true. Now, the question is, how much is the vehicle, supposedly in trance or half unconscious or something, influencing what's coming through?
Well, he'd say none. And now, you may better ask the vehicle, since we're not using names or yeah, whatever. But there's no way things that we discuss that the vehicle has any way or possibility of having any information regarding or opinion regarding. If that's true, how can that have an inflection?
I'm not saying just limiting it to Ion and JW. In any mediumship, it's different with each medium-vehicle relationship about how much the vehicle's
in. Well, mediums just means they can't be a large or that they're really small trying to be a medium. So
right,
we don't like mediums.
I know you don't
and
like it.
We don't think that the psychic capacity that some say that they control, they have to control it because no one else can. But we say everyone can and does.
Does what?
Our mediums or have the ability to have knowledge outside of their knowing.
We're saying that's the definition of a medium. The question is, does the vehicle influence what the spirits come say? Not in your case, but in many mediums that we've heard.
Well, we'll answer it both ways. You yeah, like all these answers, we'll do it both ways. If they're just trying to come into their power and they want to use this as a way to charm the other human creators into beliefs that their power shall reign supreme, then yes, the individual human creator better be very well versed in every topical information and every dynamic, and better be all-knowing and all-powerful and all-creative and be able to hit it every single time without fail or exception. And that's not mostly your experience, but that's what they better be. So if there is an influence or an outer fluence, let's call it an outer fluence,
yeah,
and they relax themselves to a point where they don't know and they don't care, then maybe because of his upbringing, meaning that it was impolite, not genteel. Mm-hmm. But we don't care. So you may have to give us an MA rating from graphic language because we don't know what that means. But J.W. Wood, he would be very kind. He's not mean or didn't use that vernacular just because that's not his nature. But it doesn't limit non-physical.
I was thinking, this is Bob doesn't know how he created Ion. Does J.W. not know how he relaxed and allowed to let Ion through?
He was so busy relaxing and allowing, he didn't care, like you, Bob. But now he has a bigger dog in the fight, you see. And that's the difference, because you're just sort of in it for the fun. Well, so is he. But then you have to go back in the dynamic of, well, what are people going to think if this was J.W.? Well, what are people going to think? This is a little odd. This is not normal. Well, it feels really good, though, but it seems okay. Okay, well, maybe we'll just make this a vice that we enjoy, and nobody will ever have to know, and then it really won't matter because it's none of their business anyway. Good.
These are the thinkings that J.W. went through.
Sure. But then after a little while, it got so much fun that he got to where he didn't care what anybody thought. Now, he also didn't go making posts in the Washington Post.
You mean he didn't go bragging and have a press conference, you mean?
Absolutely. It was not required. Right. It was not required. But at the same time, if someone asked that question, he can engage them and understand and have great insight. People that are in his world have noticed that something has changed, and they don't know what's happened, but he seems much more smart than he was.
Well, I thought J.W. was pretty smart.
Well, what do you think now?
J.W. is not even around anymore. It's all Ion. J.W. passed on. We do talk to J.W. after a session, and he's basically like, well, it's odd. He'll, I don't know this, and I don't know anything. But then all of a sudden, he'll start talking wisdom, and it's like Ion slipped back in. But you're saying that's not, and he might have slipped back in, but that also may be the new J.W. able to articulate stuff that he couldn't do before.
Yeah, because once you get it, once you know, you can't ever go back. In writing or working on a document or something, he notices the difference. Whereas these fun dynamics are embraced that he would have never engaged before.
In the documents.
Yeah. How he reads things, how he sees things. Like if he used to love to watch like the Science Channel and the National Geographic and those, and he still can enjoy those, but no, almost not at all like he used to, because he knows. So the dynamic that they're reaching for, he can see beyond.
When I came through, and then I was doing my cash flow with James for a few months, people did say, Bob, you seem more certain or more definite or more clear now. So I, quote, appeared more smarter, too, as a result of engaging Ion, would you say?
More smarter?
Yeah.
More smarter. Yeah. More smart, more smarter-ish.
More smarter-ish. Ending towards smarterness.
That's because, Bob, since you got on with Ion, you talk better.
That's true. I talk better.
No, you speak clearer.
Am I getting smarter like J.W. is due to Ion contact?
It's not about smartness. It's about taking your power. Once you start taking your power, you realize that you are. And once you realize you are, that comes across to the other unascended ones as brilliance.
So people are noticing J.W. is a little more clear, brilliant, or something.
Yeah.
In conversation. Good. Now, how do we get on to that? We're talking about the difference.
You're talking about how the non-physical was corrupted by the human creator.
It looks like this is one of the few times in human experience so far that non-physical is able to come through so clearly.
Well, that's what you created.
That's right. I demanded that quality.
You demanded it because of all the groups and the loops and the dupes and the rabbit holes and the frigate was off course.
Right. So let's go back to Dave's letter here. I mean, the other guy's letter.
That's the boy.
I'm smarter. Okay. He's just taking Ion's statement that there's nothing there and then just remembering that there is actual cases biologically. So he said, so, just fluid, no tissue in almost the entire region. So, talk about the brain rewiring new pathways and using whatever's available. Isn't really, let's finish the sentence. These people, by the way, are functional and got average to maybe below average marks in school, but hey, imagine if they had to scan when they were younger. They would have been told they had no brain, and they should expect to soon be dead.
If I only had a brain.
So he's saying, talk about the brain rewiring new pathways and using whatever is available. That's what he's saying. These people had no tissue, yet they rewired or did things in their brains or used a lot of their non-physical aspects.
Of course.
They might even be some of the people who are listening to our show. They got ESP.
Of course. And much of what you call the savant world is delicious, deliberate intention.
Is deliberate intention.
Deliberate, delicious intention.
So each savant is deliberate, delicious intention. That's like me. I'm an idiot savant on a certain level.
Well, until they cut off your sugar and then you get a little testy.
Then I become knowing.
All right, Mr. Hyde.
So he says that, Carol, right? He's thinking about the no brain, and if they were younger, these people, by the way, are functional and got average to maybe below average mark in school, but hey, imagine if they had the scan when they were younger, they would have been told they had no brain and they should expect to soon be dead. So then he says, the show rocked. No one can top what you guys are doing. Then he says, they can join in, however.
Well, of course, and see, and this is the hope that the human creators actually have been asking for, Bob. At the end of the day, you marvelous creator, you, to this place that the world may know is what you and Carolyn single-handedly are offering. You take every issue, every contrast, every deliciousness, every anomaly, every query, every misunderstanding of understood, of overstating, of the silliness that comes from all your bastard babies that are buoying through the bay of ballast of oblivion that are moving. You're offering them hope. You're offering them the capacity to be. You're offering a solution that can be the solution. And they don't even really have to believe it. They just have to be engaged by it. Then they come to the place where they can decide for themselves. And when they decide for themselves, then guess what happens? Their power is activated. And if you want the credit for activating that power, perfect, have it, take it all. But as soon as they start giving you an Academy Award, your question will be, I'd like to thank all the little people that made this possible. And then you'd look and say, Carolyn, what is it that we made possible? It's ushered in non-physical. Carolyn, do we have a non-physical? Yes, Bob, you created it. Wow, that's great. Hey, guys, guess what? There's something called non-physical that's involved in this. I don't know what it is, and I don't much believe it, but apparently it must be pretty important because you guys gave me this little statue regarding it. And I think it's really cool. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all the little people that made this possible.
I've always talked to people about Ion, and I always go, you know, if this is true, it's pretty amazing, but I'm not saying it's true.
Well, what you want to say is, if you consider it truthful or not, it's still amazing, because even if it's all just puffery, it's still amazing.
Yeah, nobody can do it like we're doing it with Ion's assistance.
Unscripted, unwrote, no knowledge, no foreknowledge. Actually, J.W. likes it better when you leave him out of it, then he's all spurning what may be the concepts that may be worked through. So he likes it better just staying completely out of the loop. He'll go and just do his little typing thing and, you know, chasing the shade around the house and making sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and recounting the account and accounting and counting the paper clips to make sure we're making the most efficient use of our paper clippery, you know, and then monitoring all from the to see how we can do the same thing that we're doing now with three less emails a month. You know, that's his world, and it's all okay because everybody is where they are, and y'all are very kind and patient with him, and he's very appreciative.
What is JW doing right now?
He's got the fire on, and he's all piled up on some pillows and his favorite cotton quilt that he just adores. His feet are really, really cold, but he doesn't know why. But when he sees the footprints out in the snow tomorrow, he'll know.
He went on barefoot. He went on barefoot.
We slipped his little flip-flop socks so he could feel the contrast of the actual 4 inches of snow. And it's the wet, slushy, sloppy snow. He had so much fun because he's really been taking his power lately. Now he brought probably the largest snow that George has had in a very, very, very long time.
Wow.
And made the snow melt as it came, so no roads are affected. Allowed a huge, big, wet, sloppy snow, you know, the really messy kind, and piled it up, and it would melt and pile it up, and it'd melt. They said that if all the snow that fell today had stuck, meaning if the ground had been, like, super cold, it would have been the equivalent of a foot and a half of snow.
Okay, well, the show's almost over. What's the responses out there?
Mostly appreciation. There's a couple of folks that are in what you call old folks' homes who have been hearing these voices and they don't know what they are. Tommy, Barbara, Nicole, Jonathan. They call him Johnny, or his mama did. They're different places, and they've sort of like released the notion of time, and they're hearing these voices, and it's very pleasing because it's soothing for them.
And it doesn't matter if they know what we're talking about.
But they mostly do. They mostly do, and they're responding. And it's very, very pleasing because it's like you cared enough to include us.
And they are first-timers tonight?
No, and actually they've been engaging it for a bit. But when they would talk to the people who would be their caregivers, they'd give them a pill because they thought they were losing it. So they'd just give them 10 of Ativan and say, sleep it off. And now they don't say anything anymore because they're enjoying the conversation. They describe it as like when they had the old radio shows, yeah, and they could tune in at a certain time and enjoy the radio show. They had the mystery hour, and one that they were speaking about is the Nancy Drew mystery hour. They right. used to have that on, and they had many other those science shows where they were talking about science fiction and stuff and how enjoyable it was to hear that when they were watching the radio.
They talked about their experiences and the caretakers thought they were giving more pills, right?
That's correct.
They were just talking enthusiasm among themselves and the caretakers overhear it?
No, they were asking, it was like, well, who was playing the radio last night? I heard a show I haven't heard for a long time, and they go, well, okay. And it was like, no, it was all about this science fiction thing with this non-physical and all these dynamics and how important love is a force field. And there's somebody named Bob that's dead, that's 122 years old, but he sure sounds good. And then his caregiver, she must be his daughter. She's really sweet and kind, and she's very patient with him. And on and on and on. And you know how if you were had someone who had enough wisdom and agent that would sort of let those kind of things run together, start sounding like you, Bob, but we don't want to say that, of course. But they come into the place where the caregiver says, all right, Miss Mamie, it's going to be all right. Here, I got your little happy pill, and help that pressure go away. Do we take these pills, Carol? Yes, Bob, we take these pills. Okay, good. There it goes. And then they're off to happy time.
And I notice you give a lot of English names, you know, American names. That's been happening the past few weeks. You're not picking up or...
And look at your audience. You're having more outside the U.S. than you are in the U.S.
But you're naming people with North American names.
Sorry.
There are people outside, but you're not naming them.
Okay.
No, I'm not complaining. Just noticing that we seem,
sure,
you seem to be commenting on people in the States more and citing them.
Well, are the English names that seem to be the ones that come.
But there are people with other cultures and names listening.
Yeah, you could have Shetonia, and you could have Zooby-Doob, and you could have Cyrene, and you could have Saeed, and you could have Hussein, and you could have the Patels. There's got about 10 million of those.
How many are in our peak audience were listening tonight?
I mean, it was about 100,000 tonight. It's off a little from your normal runs, but they're all excited about busting the flow tomorrow. Flow busters. Cash flow.
They're all excited about the show.
Yeah.
So they tune into that now.
They do.
Are you enjoying the TV show 24 Hours?
JW is. We've already seen it. Jack wins in the end, by the way.
No, he doesn't. Nobody wins in that show. But here's the point. It's all about time.
No, it is not at all about time. If you notice why JW enjoys that show very much, even though the content is a little baroque.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets to be like a Beretta or a Mannix after a second, just with the high-tech CTU concepts. It has nothing to do with time at all. Every single bit of that is about timing.
That's right. How everybody shows up at different times.
TikTok, TikTok, and all these multi-dynamics are going on together, and how Allison's going to figure it out. And
Okay, fine. Okay, so TikTok to me sounds like time, but TikTok indicates the interval of timing. TikTok, 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 or TikTok, TikTok.
Yeah, that's the way they do the show. Click, click, click.
Yeah, yeah.
Click, 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 click. That's how they do the show. That's perfect.
Okay, so...
Been watching The Lost Leaders.
The Lost what?
Leaders, which is what they used to advertise the beginning of their show with the thing clicking for 24.
You're calling them Lost Leaders?
Mm-hmm.
The Lost Leaders, like, in using money to... You give away something free just to get the interest going.
Well, that's what that does. They're not making money to show that part of the show. They don't make money on that. They could have been doing a commercial that makes money, but they're doing it for free to let you know that this is what you should be engaging with.
That's a lost leader, having the numbers of the 24 hours countdown, whatever.
Yeah, because you could find out that you have erectile dysfunction, that you need activity to make your bowel moves, and that you can sue everybody who made those other drugs that caused you to hurt. Instead of having the numbers, so, yeah.
They make sure people don't take magic and ESP seriously in today's society so that...
They try to.
So that people don't notice total magic and ESP is being used in advertising.
And it's so much fun. They take a delicious, wonderful concept and a very wonderful work that sticks in to be greatly engaged on the society called Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. And guess what happens to her? She falls down a rabbit hole.
Right. They presented that that's a bad fate. Is that what you mean, Carol?
Right.
Is that what you mean, Carol?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we do all the time.
In other words, they're going to make people afraid of falling into a rabbit hole.
Falling through a portal.
Or making it engaging and fun. Off with her head. This guy, Johnny Depp, for Pete's sake, what more could you ask for?
Mm-hmm.
How much did he get paid for?
$41 million.
Okay, good.
He hasn't been paid yet, but he will be paid, that is, if it makes any money. But
right now, who's making the most money as an actor? He's one of the top ones, right?
He is.
And who else would be up on that level? George Clooney?
No, not so much. His savoir faire, he's questioning his own knowingness, so not so much. They are so. In her day, Rosemary made more money than he did, but money meant different things then.
Who's someone else who'll be making a lot of money, like, I guess Tom Hanks does?
Nicholson does, and Denzel Washington,
right.
Jim Carrey, and Jim Varney, and all that crew that are just kind of fun. But see, they're only as good as their last best role. That Cameron, he's not doing it anymore, but he made money during that. And don't forget now, you're having a lot of meme mixing.
The meme mixing, what? Mixing animation?
They're using movies to validate miniseries, if you notice, they're starting to flow like J.J. Abrams. Flowing for the new Star Trek movie and the TV show and the series and. They're starting to blend them so you start recognizing or having an appreciation for the name. So whether it's on the big screen or IMAX or 4D or TV or VD, you enjoy it.
The name is being J.J. Abrams is the name.
It's the example. J.J. Abrams did it, then it's going to be a good movie.
I don't know if there's any other point that someone wants to make in the audience.
Yes, everybody loves Carolyn.
No.
And they appreciate Carolyn because she's the clear and guiding mind of reason that allows them to enjoy your contrast, Bob.
You mean I provide the contrast?
Apparently.
She specialized in being that kind of person ever since she was a kid.
Well, because she cares.
Oh, Carolyn cares? I thought we were trying not to care.
I know, but she's not there yet, so it's okay.
She's more human.
Well, but she's very compassionate. And you're very compassionate, you just don't care. It's different.
Yeah, let those people know I'm very compassionate.
Yes, you are very compassionate, you just don't care. Carolyn, do we feel bad about this? Yes, Bob, we feel bad about this. Well, I don't. I don't know why, but I'm moved with compassion. I just don't care.
Okay, we've come full circle because at the beginning of the show, Ian was pointing out that Carolyn would not put up with fools very long, where Bob does.
Right.
So I call that compassion on my point.
Yes, but she compassionately lets them know how foolish they are.
Oh, yeah, I don't tell them.
Right. You just laugh at them. Yeah. You enjoy them.
No, they don't know I'm laughing. I enjoy them, and they think I'm appreciating them. They don't know I'm the biggest hypocrite on the planet.
Yeah. Well, but even though Carolyn took the oath.
What is that? Hippocratic oath.
Yeah, I know, but that oath.
No, hypocritic oath.
I crossed my fingers when I said it.
That's what I mean. So it was a hypocritical oath.
Mm-hmm.
So she took it, but I didn't.
You live it.
I live it. Could you clarify who the two Catholic priest guys who listen, one's an archbishop, one's a cardinal, or what were those two designations? One was an archbishop, was that right?
Yes.
And one was
a cardinal.
How are they listening tonight?
They are.
Well, shout out to them.
Hey, we know in the Benedictine dynasty that you're listening, and we appreciate you. And just like Bartles and James, we thank you for your support.
Did you hear that, Carol? The Benedictine dynasty. It's Pope Benedictine.
Okay.
All right.